the feelings you get, the endorphins you get from that level of change becomes your new normal. And you never want to go back to drill and fill and profies. You want to go to life-changing dentistry. And that's where the sweet spot is. That's where I see the difference in the clients that I work with that go from the drill and fill profi to the life-changing dentistry.
Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Get ready to uncover the secrets, gain valuable insights, and conquer any dental challenge that comes your way. From advanced techniques, innovative technologies, and the ever-important set skills, Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. Thank you very much for pushing the button and joining us today and listening in. If you like what we say here, push the follow button and help increase our ratings and with the algorithms out there. And I'm really pleased to have as a guest today with me, Sophia Dunkley. And Sophia was introduced to me by a mutual friend that we have, Daniela Skeen. And you both are just class act people, Sophia. And I want to thank you for taking time today out of your busy schedule and coming to visit with us.
Sure. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Sophia is a dental business coach. She's a speaker and advisor, dental consultant, case acceptance coach. I love that part, Sophia. We're going to have to zero in on that as we talk. The other thing I appreciate is a dental sales trainer. Implant sales trainer. And I have interest in that because I have a son that is in dentistry and his emphasis is dental implants. And so you're a practice navigator. You inspire dentist CEOs and teams to raise their bar.
Yes.
Sophia, welcome. And I would love for you to share, in addition to that, information that you'd like our audience to know about you that will help them in our listening today.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for that great introduction. And so I'm here in New York, New York City, in Queens, New York, where Coming to America was filmed. And I am a practice management coach and consultant with a unique focus on the case acceptance side of things, implant sales training, supporting your team through that process. I cover all systems and all processes in the dental practice, but I particularly like to start with the case acceptance aspect of it because I do believe, my personal belief is that that is the nucleus of the entire ecosystem of the dental practice. And all the systems support that, but the entire practice and the entity exists for us to do the final most important step, which is getting the patients to say yes. So I'm here today and I'm excited to be able to share my knowledge and my experience over the years. I'm also a certified executive coach through IPEC. And what that means is that I am able to help to uncover what are the things that are getting in the way, what's blocking us from the level of success we're hoping to have in our practice. And that falls under the leadership umbrella, whether that's leadership of self, leadership in terms of the doctor who leads the practice, the office manager who leads the practice, or any of the individual team leads. I love dentistry. I'm passionate about helping and serving the dental community. So I'm excited to be here today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the addition that you placed there with this, Sophia. Amen, Sophia, to the case acceptance side of dentistry being the nucleus. I have always advocated that. I've always had the belief that give me great people behind the telephone and give me a great person sitting by my side, staff person sitting by my side during consultations and helping the patient along the path to where they feel confident and have trust, then leading into saying yes. Let's unwrap that case acceptance side, because it is the nucleus. Without the patient saying yes, everything in the office is insignificant. Don't you agree?
I agree, absolutely. You know, and that's one of the things that stood out to me the most when I was a team member in a dental practice, you know? So.
Unwrap that more for us. Sophia, if you're coming into a practice, and that's the first place that you focus on, per se.
Yes.
How do you go about that process?
So I'm going to do an assessment and analysis to see, is there a process that's already existing for case acceptance? And where are the bottlenecks? Where are the hiccups? Where's the pain point? What are the challenges that the team and the doctor is having? So, for example, it may be that our patients are coming in for the initial consults, but they're not saying yes, or they're not reappointing, or the patients are telling the doctor, yes, I want this treatment. However, once you're sitting with the treatment coordinator or the person presenting the case, the patient is then backing out of treatment. Also, you know, are we tracking? Are we doing follow-up? Is it that we don't have a follow-up system? Is it that we're not compassionate enough in the way we're presenting the cases? And what does that really mean? Is that open to interpretation per individual, right? So I'm going to try to uncover, peel back the onion to decipher what exactly, if you do have a case acceptance process in place, what is affecting the closure rate, the end results? Why is it that we're not achieving the desired results that we're looking for, the desired closure rate we're looking for? If there are no systems in place, then I will go in and make recommendations for a process, the case acceptance process, that have been proven over the years through all of the training that I've had of various institutes that work. Institutes where I myself have gone, been trained, but also that I have tried and tested myself and then implemented and put in place in other offices and develop case studies. And always re-engineering, reverse engineering the process to make sure that we are really, really understanding what's going on when we're trying to present to patients. The key thing we want to make sure that if a patient has showed up in our practice and says, I want to have dentistry done, this particular kind of dentistry, I agree with it. I have determined that I want this doctor to do it. What I'm looking for is to have a team ready and waiting to be able to deliver that and be able to do that compassionately in a way where the patient is put at choice. So therefore, we are not pushing them. We don't want them to do anything. We are presenting the patient with options, and the patient is then choosing the option that is best going to fit their ultimate long-term goal for their teeth, their mouth, their smile, and their overall dental health. Okay. So that's what, in a nutshell, that looks like. So it's basically establishing the need, how long the treatment's going to be taken, who's going to be doing the treatment, cost, and basically delivery of services. So basically that's the whole process in a whole nutshell.
Yeah. You mentioned the patient shows up and wants the dentistry.
Yes.
That comment caught me.
Yes.
As a practice, how do we make that happen?
So in order to have a situation and a scenario where your patients are showing up wanting the dentistry that you are trained to deliver, you want to ensure that, one, your branding and positioning is appropriate, right? So you are known for the type of dentistry that you are trained to deliver. Two, that your team at the front office, when they're answering the phones, they are highlighting the services that you're offering in the practice. They understand what is the practice values as it pertains to this level of dentistry that we're providing. And that's being communicated over the phone when that patient first calls and starts to get the information about your practice. And three, that when that patient shows up, we are showing them before and after to create credibility that this type of dentistry that I am telling you I'm known for, that I'm telling you that I want to serve the community with, I have millions and millions of case studies to show you that this is something that I do all the time. So we're teeing up the process. So when we then have a patient in front of us that has the needs, and we are then making the recommendations, we have the right patient in front of us because we have positioned the practice properly. We have prepped the patient before they're sitting in front of us in the consult because we've had these preheat conversations, and we are set up, the practice is set up in a way to be able to get that patient to believe, oh, I'm in the right place. They get that sigh of relief. So that's how you do that.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing when you are able to walk into a consultation room as the doctor and you come up on the patient, and I always just walked right up to him, extended my hand and say, hi, I'm Dr. John. I was never formal with the patient in that respect. I wanted to keep myself down on their level as much as possible, but also respecting the doctor-patient difference there.
Yes.
Because it's something that, you know, you can't erase, but I wanted to diminish that gap as much as possible. It was always great for me to walk in and be able to look in their face and already sense that something has started.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And again, I had to give my staff credit, but, you know, as you said, it's branding your practice so that when they are observing or reading your marketing material, they get a feeling. And you reposted something by Gary Vee almost a year ago mm-hmm. about marketing is all about the person having a feeling.
Yes.
I thought that was awesome. Talk about that, Sophia.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things we learn over time, it's all about emotions. How do you make the individual feel? And a lot of our buying decisions, a lot of who we choose to interact with, a lot of where we choose to vacation or receive services is based on how we feel about it. What emotions that we tie to that particular decision to be able to move forward. So what you realize is that thoughts become feelings and feelings become action. Well, in that little feeling aspect of it, that's where the emotion is. So when a doctor and a patient or a treatment coordinator and a patient are in the room together, how we make them feel basically kind of determines the next steps that happens after the conversation. And so I believe in that very, very, very strongly about connections and emotions. And there was a study this week that where they talk about, it was also in the news, where they talk about that decisions are not made based on facts. They're made based on emotions. And so if that is true, then what does that mean for us in the dental practice, in a case acceptance arena? How does the way we make the patient feel? There's one thing about rapport, but how do we make that connection? How do we make create that feeling of this, you're in the right place? That's what you Correct. Want. You want your patient to feel, say to themselves, I think I'm in the right place. And this is really key for implant arches. And the reason, particularly for implant arches, because the patients that are looking for implant solutions are people that have been suffering for a long time. They have had Yeah. failing and ailing teeth over the years. They're worried about judgment. They're worried about cost. They're fearful about having pain. Is it going to be done right? So the approach I would use for a restorative patient is going to be different from the approach that I'm going to use for an implant arch patient. And the reason is there's a tremendous amount that is focused on fear of treatment and trust. Are you going to do this where it's not going to hurt me and I have to do it over and over again like a sport? Because Yes. they have suffered so much to get to this point where they are today. So we have to really a lot of the conversation is centered around really getting that patient to realize that you're in the right place. Our doctors are highly trained and highly skilled, and we have many case studies that are successful and consistent and predictable. Not that you don't need that for restorative, but the emotional baggage the patient is showing up with when they're becoming edentulous is different from the emotional baggage that the patient shows up with when you're doing a full mouth rehab or replacing a bridge, or I'm changing the shape and size of your teeth to make them into a full mouth rehab case. Very, very different emotions for the patient.
Yeah. And that's where the marketing expertise comes in. And this is what I think differentiates, Sophia, the difference between a marketing agency or marketing company, marketing group, is when they do concentrate on the feelings and emotions versus the procedure or the item. Dead and gone should be the days of marketing menu items. And I think you see that, though, still when you're dealing with possibly corporations, dentists that are more structured in the PPO programs, because emotion wins.
Right.
And I don't say that flippantly. I say that with a great deal of respect, because that's what my practice was based on, was dealing with the patient with the emotion. And, you know, when we go out and we're looking for a car and we're trying to make a decision on what car is right for us, you know, we all kind of sit down at first and go, I'm behind the wheel of the absolute best Chevy that there is out there, and I'm loving the ride. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'll sit behind the wheel of a Maserati, even though that's way out of my budget, but darn, I'd love to be sitting behind a wheel of a Maserati or a Lexus or a Tesla or whatever. We put ourselves behind the wheel so that we can somehow or another emulate the feeling of the emotion and the excitement of driving that automobile. And that's where I think the success comes in case acceptance, Sophia, with these, is that we are, if we're good with our communication skills, we can romance the patient into that thought process, and we can get them into experiencing the moment when they do have that beautiful smile, where they do have that confidence again, where they're not feeling embarrassed and they're not feeling humiliation and all of those negative components.
Yeah.
When the patient is able to smile like you are right now, just a gorgeous, big, beaming smile that says, hey, I'm loving this. We're good. Let's keep doing this. That's what wins.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, a lot of times when we talk about making connection and having that rapport, what sometimes gets missing is where almost everyone talks about being on stage. And I understand the concept of that. However, you want to be genuine, right? You want to get that patient to understand, you know, you want them to dream. You want them to be able to envision what this could look, feel like. How is this going to change their lives? You know, what is it going to, you know, how is it going to impact work? How is it going to impact dating, hanging out with your friends? You know, I have a phrase that I like to say is, the decisions you make now regarding your dental health, your tooth, and your smile determines your quality of life in the next 10 to 5 to 15 years.
Yep.
Okay? And so if I could get that patient to dream what it's like to no longer have a funny taste, to dream what it's like to no longer have to worry. We all forget about the people that have to worry about what having teeth that are hurting or having a funny taste or worrying about, is there bad breath? What would it be like to just get up and not have to think and feel that way? You know, being able to go out with your friends and not having to worry about if you're having pain from your partial denture, you know? And so these are the things that get a patient to say, it will take a patient from a maybe to a yes. You know,
yes.
When a patient can hear that, you know, I don't have to worry about this anymore. So you're not, what happens is you're no longer selling teeth. You're selling the experience. You're selling the lifestyle. You're selling the solution. You're selling the future, basically, of the relationships, the work opportunities, the confidence that they'll have, having a healthy, stronger, more fulfilling life by not having to worry about their teeth anymore.
You know, it's interesting. I could always tell in visiting with my patients that came in for lifestyle dentistry and, you know, comprehensive care, restorative, full mouth, whatever. I could always sense the baggage they were carrying with them. It was a physiological burden on them, and you could just see it.
Yeah.
I could see the way that they sat in the chair. I could see the way that they looked at me. I could see it in their slumped shoulders. I could see it in kind of the protective nature they had with maybe their spouse sitting next to them or the significant other that came with them. It became very oppressive to them, and they didn't really realize how much it was affecting their life.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's so much energy and time, evasion, you know, hiding yourself, hiding your smile, smiling with your lips closed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being on guard. That's a lot of emotional negative energy that we're having to exert all the time to protect ourselves. Yeah. Some of the most rewarding things that I saw with patient Sophia was, you know, I obviously would take the full series of photographs of the patient before treatment.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to understand everything about them and their smile, and I'd study their smile, teeth, and lip line, and all of that. And then I would take pictures afterwards. And I would put them side by side, and I would let the patient see those. And they were shocked,
yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. Because they start to forget. They start to forget what they looked like, what they came in with. And that's why it's imperative to have photos. And that's one of the biggest challenges. Like, I'll go into offices, and we're doing case acceptance, and I'm asking, I'm like, okay, so we're taking a full SLR set of photos, right? And the doctor's like, oh, no, we're just doing intraoral. There is nothing more powerful than taking a full set of SLR. One, it protects the practice. Two, it shows the patient the journey of where they're coming from and where they are today. And three, you get really nice before and afters, very nice learning photos and photos that you could build a library. Whenever I have an office that says to me, I want to do advanced level dentistry, and they're not taking full SLR photos, I'm like, they're really not serious about case acceptance.
No, I agree. I agree. And it's, you know what you're talking about, Sophia, in case acceptance, you've got to go full in.
Yeah.
If you really want to win at this, you have to go full in.
Yeah.
And there's the I don't like this phrase, the soft side of it. Soft side of dentistry. We got to figure out another term for that, Sophia, so it doesn't sound weak, you know. But the soft side of dentistry, and then you have the technical, hands-on dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out of dental school, we don't understand the soft side.
Yeah, you know, I call it the emotional intelligence part. I call it relationship. Some people call it work culture, the culture, you know, the people skills aspect. There's so many different ways you can package that. But yes, that's the part that's missing in many practices, whether you are just a regular general dental practice or you're pedo or something else, or if you're doing this high level dentistry. I happen to focus on high level dentistry because I've worked with a lot of Panky, LVI, FMR trained dentist. Mm-hmm. And so that was our pain point. That's the pain point that they're struggling with. How do they bridge the gap? But this can be applied to any dental practice, anyone, anywhere in life, but in particularly for dentistry, it can be applied in any kind of a dental practice. But it's a very, very important, and it's a key aspect. And this is where being a coach comes into play. I focus on energy leadership, and I focus on the leadership aspect. That culture, that core, that connection, that the willingness and ability to want to connect with people is going to be dictated by leadership. And that is that that basically affects the entire whether or not this works or not. So yeah. as a executive coach, leadership coach as well, I am taking that into consideration as I'm implementing case acceptance, because I'm trying to understand why are we not moving forward, or why are we having so many hiccups? And that's going to be part of the process of developing the system, the verbal skills, the steps. What are we, how are we making the patients feel? What is the patient's entire experience journey in your practice from the minute they call, they show up, they get presented the treatment plan, they receive the clinical work from the dentist, and then delivery of services to them being placed on a maintenance. That entire ecosystem, that entire journey, what does that look and feel like for the patient?
Yeah. You know, you talked about leadership there a second ago, and the doctor should be the leadership within the practice. I understand that at times it is given to staff members, but I don't agree with that, Sophia. I think it has to stay with the doctor. Mm-hmm. If it's not, I think that that says a lot to the team, and I don't know that the team will take the decisions of the key person in the practice that's taking over the leadership. I don't know that that will be as effective. Mm-hmm. And let's say that you an office comes to you and you have the opportunity to go into the practice and evaluate, and you learn about the team members, you learn about the doctor, and you do the DISC or whatever personality tests there, and you find that the doctor is a high I. Mm-hmm. I was a high I introvert. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I realized, though, Sophia, that in order for me to do the dentistry that I wanted to and that I had trained to, and I'd gone back into the Pankey Institute, I went through the Dawson Institute, I went through a couple of other venues, and I felt like I had the technical skills to create really great dentistry for these people. But I knew that I needed to learn the other components. Mm-hmm. The communication. Now, let's say you have a practice that the doctor is very much an introvert, finds communication and talking with people, looking them in the eyes as a difficult thing. How can that person, let me ask you, can that person learn to communicate effectively with people?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. However, I have this phrase that I say to my doctors, but it's a decision. You have to, one, truly and really decide that you've come to the awareness that this is what's holding me back. And then make that decision that you want to start to put in little incremental steps, the changes, implement tools. So I do what is called an ELI 360. And an ELI 360 is an energy leadership assessment that assesses a doctor or a team on the 36 leadership competencies that's required to be an effective leader. But also, that analysis is also looking at what is a person's default stress response. And basically, on that levels of stress response, if interacting or being an introvert is going to create some stress, right? I'm an introvert, and now you want me to talk to this patient about this wonderful dentistry that I am now able to do, let's say an implant arch doctor. Now they can provide patients with the options for implant arch, but you have to be able to speak confidently about the dentistry you've done. You have to be able to talk about how this is going to change this patient's life and why you're the right dentist for that patient. Now this doctor's experiencing some stress. What does it look like from a, you know, default stress response for that doctor? And then me being that leadership coach, I'm going to be working with that doctor to implement steps and strategies to overcome that what's blocking them, what's keeping them from just not moving forward, not wanting to have those difficult conversations with the patient. So we'll build strategies by putting together frameworks to how to have that communication with verbal skills. I am naturally an introvert. I am naturally shy, right? But I learned that in order for me to achieve the level of success that I'm saying I want, that I have made the decision that I wanted, I had to find the tools, read the books, take the training, get myself in the trenches, put myself in the situations and scenario that will make me develop the skills and the muscles, basically, to be able to have those difficult, courageous conversations. Yeah. And so if I could do it, anyone can. Well, but yes.
I'm like you, Sophia. As I mentioned, my baseline is introvert. And, you know, in large groups, years ago, I would be the one that would gently ease my way out to the outer perimeter. And I'd leave my wife in the middle and I'd let her go to work. And she's a little chatty person. And, you know, after 30 minutes, she'll know something about almost everybody. And I admired that about her. Part of the next question is that the introvert realizes that, like you and I, in order for us to accomplish what we saw out there that we felt maybe we could, we had to overcome a barrier. So we had a burn inside of us, didn't we?
Yes, absolutely.
We had a burn inside of us. And so we did what we needed to do. What about the doctor and the practice that, let's say maybe their burn is just at a pilot light level? Mm-hmm. That becomes a little more difficult, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does. And, you know, a doctor that's at that point, there may be a little hemming, huh? You know, well, I really want to do it, but I'm not sure. I'm not ready yet. You know, the most popular I hear, my practice is not yet ready to do that type of dentistry. I am not ready to bring a case acceptance person in as yet because I don't think we're ready. You are never going to be ready. It's a decision, right? It's one of those things. You either are or you aren't. And so it's that fear that's making you think that, what if I try to do it and then I fail? So as a coach, I'm never going to tell you that's what it is. I'm going to ask empowering questions to uncover what is it that's really holding you back and what is it that you really want? And what that's telling me, that's where the conflict exists. What is it that you really want versus what is really holding you back, and how we can talk, partner together, and help you put together a strategy to help to pull you forward. That's why I call it raising the bar in dentistry. Pull you forward, raising the bar in dentistry, because it's not easy to do that, to be able to get you to overcome what is holding you back. Because these are thoughts and feelings that has followed us from childhood, from early adulthood. Yeah. We've had an experience, something happened, and that caused us to hold back. You know, one of the things, or it's a belief system. It's your Whoville, right? As they say, what your traditions are. So one of the things that was very popular was dentists were told, you know, you are clinicians. You are not salespeople. You're not car salesmen. So for you to discuss money or try to deliver that level of dentistry, that is almost like a taboo. So for some doctors, they're feeling that pull of, okay, I want to grow my practice. But how do I do that? Because I'm a clinician and I don't want to be too much like a business. And so that's the conflict, right? And that's the conflict between what is holding them back and what they really want. So that's how I try to, once I create that awareness, then I can work with a doctor to help to move forward. So we're building systems, but we're working on mindset too, you know, and it goes back to really, truly, as simple as it may, you know, sometimes when we're in a lecture and we're thinking about it, it seems so difficult, but it's really as simple as a decision and what you really, really want.
Yeah.
And then putting everything in place to make that happen.
You bet. I think you're spot on with the doctors don't know what they want. They haven't sat down and really figured out and given themselves the opportunity to dream like we've talked about. What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want with your practice? What how do you want to retire? How do you want to be known amongst your patients and the community? And you know, when you shared, my practice isn't ready, that's their excuse. For me, I'm shaking my head, and I know I hear that, Sophia. I've heard it with dentists that I've spoken to and spoken with, is my practice just isn't there yet. It's not ready. Well, I'm not ready. I'm afraid to make a decision, because once I make a decision, then it's on me.
Yeah.
To make it happen. And quite honestly, I'm not confident. And I don't think I'm competent yet, but I'm not willing to admit that to anybody, because if I do, then they will look at me as incompetent and incompetent. And mm-hmm. Can I get rid of that label? And they go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, their mindset is set to the point to where it's going to take a lot of work for them to dig out.
Yeah.
And it's when I made the decision to go into my lifestyle practice. Actually, I made it to go into cosmetic dentistry first. Is I just walked out of my office on a Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock, closed the door, and said, "John, your typical general practice is now finished."
Yes.
When you walk in Monday morning at 7:30, you are now going to be a cosmetic dental practice. I didn't tell my staff I was doing this. And so I walked in Monday morning, and for our morning huddle meeting, first thing I did is I said, "This is what we're doing, and this is what I've done." So it took making the decision, mm-hmm. burning the ship, knowing that there was some hard work ahead. And I think that's something that scares doctors, is the realization that it is going to take some work. It's going to take a shift in your thought process. Maybe you're approaching some of your procedures and your protocols, but so what? If you have this wonderful, "I want this" out there in front of you, and I think that "I want" that they put out there before them has to involve the patient.
Yes. Yes.
To be successful.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So when you shared that, I'm going, okay, that doctor's not telling the whole story. He's not, he or she, they're not being completely honest with themselves, are they?
Yeah, they're not. And it's fear of failure. I was at a seminar a week or two ago, and a doctor stood up and he started to talk about the egos. And it's very rare that you hear a doctor talk about the egos, because Deepak Chopra talks about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That as human beings, it doesn't matter what walk of life, from the minute we're a kid, that's the battle between our consciousness and our egos. And so it's all about, if I fail or if it doesn't work out, that fear of failure, you know, what's the worst that can happen? But it takes you, by the time you get to that point, you've already been practicing 15, 20 years before you're saying, okay, you know what, what's the worst that can happen? You know, so it would be nice. And you see, sometimes you see some offices like really take off, and some doctors are naturally just have that mindset. And some doctors do a lot of work on mindset, a tremendous amount of work on mindset really early in their careers. So that way they are able to make build these amazing practices. You know, so it's a lot of different factors. And so case acceptance, we've talked about the psychology and the work culture and all of that, and the soft skills, as we talk about behind it. But you know, case acceptance, putting the energy of the practice and reverse engineering the systems to support that gets you to where you want to be. So for example, in a practice where, let's say, a team member didn't get a patient to say yes, you know, you reverse engineer. Where did the breakdown in that case acceptance happen? Did it happen over the phone? Did it happen in the consult? Did it happen on the handover? Were we struggling with determining and deciphering financial options? Where exactly in that entire process did something not go as planned? Did we really present that treatment plan to that patient where the patient has options, but understood that they were at choice? And so, you know, there's a concept that I use called alternative close, right? Given options, and one of the two options basically benefits the patient's goal of being healthy. Either of those two options is pretty much going to have a yes at the end of it, right? So all of those things taken into consideration makes a huge difference.
Good stuff, Sophia.
You're welcome.
You know, it's interesting, the fear factor that exists within us all, and it holds us back so much, and it becomes a mindset that is so difficult to overcome. And it's inviting people into our lives, into our practice, such as you, that can help them deal with that particular issue. You know, when we spoke way back in January, when we had a great conversation, you mentioned that the doctors are very uncomfortable with large fees, charging it and also preventing it. And you said that that is very, very prevalent.
Yes. Yes.
What's the fear behind that?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've learned is a lot of people are addicted to approval addiction. And so the thought of someone rejecting you. So the patient says, no, well, very rarely they say no. They usually say, I'm going to think about it. Or they're going to say, I'm going to talk to my wife or my husband. Or they're going to say, I'm going to think about whether or not, I want to use healthcare financing or if I want to pay for it myself. Or they may say, I want a second opinion, right? The ones that really gets to everyone is the, I'm going to get a second opinion or I'm going to think about it, right? Some people kind of sort of believe that you got to, you know, for decisions over $500 to $1,000, most married couple are going to speak to their spouses, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. The concept of I'm going to think about it or get a second opinion, many people take it as a rejection, or this patient's not going to like me because I'm presenting this treatment and it's a lot of money and they may get upset. And so that is something where a lot of doctors' feedback over the years, they were not taught about the business side of dentistry. And so the fact that the money aspect and the decisions about saying yes because of the cost of dentistry gets in the way of the relationship between the dentist and the patient. And so, you know, when we're working with doctors who have this fear or worry about patients saying yes to large sums of treatment or diagnosing a larger treatment plan because they're worrying, oh, this patient can't afford it, or judgment comes into play. We basically work on, and that also falls in the mindset. I've seen doctors be very, very visibly uncomfortable with presenting large treatment plans in their practices and large dollar amounts.
How do they overcome that?
Well, one of the primary things is to have someone like me hire me, and I'll help you work through that.
Great answer. Great answer.
Hire me.
That's what I was looking for.
And yes.
It does take coaching.
Yes.
It takes a business coach. It takes someone outside of your group and going to an understanding that, again, one of your articles was that in order to have a great staff, they have to feel comfortable and like they're trusted and there's a safety net. Well, this is the same thing in learning, because a doctor coming and going, are you recognizing and saying, hey, this is an issue for you, and they know it, is they have to trust somebody to go to help them and teach them that where they're not going to feel vulnerable in a negative way.
Yeah.
They're going to feel vulnerable in a positive way, knowing that Sophia's going to have my best interest She's going to help grow me. She's going to help coach me up in this to where I can start realizing the dream I've been thinking about for years.
Yeah.
And so we all need coaches.
Yes. And it's so interesting. You see the energy in the office change, right? So let's say we have a conversation and we say, this is what we want. What doctor says, this is what I want. You know, everyone says talk about the why, but the why and the want kind of dance around with each other, right?
This is
what I want. And so we talk about, okay, so these are the steps and, you know, these are the tools, these are the strategies we're going to put in place. And we talk about it, but sometimes just the mere fact that they have to have a conversation just to check in is accountability. Sometimes I show up, I don't even really have to say that much. That creates accountability. And so what you find is over time, you will start to change. And I think one of the misconceptions is that everyone thinks that you're going to sit through a course or you're going to get a stack of papers with some thoughts and philosophies on it, and you're going to read it and you're going to be able to change your practice. It doesn't work that way. The mind takes time for it to take on a new thought process. The key to adult learning is repetition. You know, we could be just like when you work out, you could start doing everything, lose the 20 pounds, the body changes, you're excited, and something happens, throws you off your normal routine, and you go right back and gain 20 pounds. It's a very similar concept. However, I do feel with mindset, once you start to change, when it comes to dentistry and your practice, once you see the difference between where you were in terms of the way your practice was and where it is now and how happy your patients are and how profound the life-changing results are, the feelings you get, the endorphins you get from that level of change becomes your new normal. And you never want to go back to drill and fill and prophies. You want to go to life-changing dentistry. Dentistry that's going to make a difference. Dentistry where that patient has a lifetime of gratitude to you. And that's where the sweet spot is. That's where I see the difference in the clients that I work with that go from the drill and fill prophy to the life-changing dentistry. And I do them every day. And one of the things that makes me happy is when I do it over here in this area or with this client or this type of practice, and I can see it come together and it's duplicated. You know, some practice will say, I can never close a $30,000 case. Those patients don't exist here. And then within 3 months, they have their first $30,000 case or shorter, or they're doing dual arch. And so you see what they thought was impossible is now possible. And then the gratitude that those people have for that is a feeling that that doctor never wants to lose.
You know, the last 4 minute statement that you just gave, Sophia, is the apex and I'm going to say the huge, huge climax of what we've been talking about. Is creating fulfillment and satisfaction and having that level of just awe that you participated in the path of helping someone change their life. And as you were speaking, I saw your face light up more when you were talking about that particular topic a few minutes ago. That was awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for having me. I've seen it and I feel it, and it's in my gut. It's in my core.
It's obvious because that just flowed so freely from you. You weren't working at all with that. You haven't worked at all in communicating with me here today and or the first time in January. It was very authentic. And, you spoke earlier about, you know, the doctor and the staff and the people being authentic versus being on stage. And I don't think you can separate the two if you're going to be successful as a leader and in the practice of dentistry and in the building relationships with patients. As we wrap this up, Sophia, leave with the audience one last final thought that you think that they should really look at trying to wrap their arms around to create success in their practice.
Yeah. So thank you for that. You know, if you're in a practice where the case acceptance aspect of it has always been a struggle, whether from your side as the leader, the dentist, or from the team side, the office manager or the treatment coordinators, and you're trying to figure out what's the next best thing to do, I think from our conversation today, just understanding that it's a decision, it's a mindset shift, and understanding that that aspect, the nucleus, the case acceptance aspect of the practice is what basically drives and moves that practice forward, what I call raising the bar in dentistry. And so if you are struggling with that and, you know, you just want to kind of figure out how can I change, whether it's my own, your own mindset or your team members, help to support your team members' mindset, please, please, please remember this conversation. Reach out to me. Know that I'm here because the decisions you make now determine your future, your quality of life, and your retirement. So that's what my takeaway would be.
That's a great takeaway. And I don't think enough people realize the impact of the decisions that they make. And if they put more thought process into it, Sophia, they'd be so much further ahead in their life.
Yes.
And what they're looking for. Absolutely. I really appreciate you being with us today, Sophia. I'm going to put at the end of the podcast notes how people can make connection with you if you'd send that to me. But you, the way, the one or two ways that you want them to have as far as the ability to communicate with you.
Sure.
And it's just been a real pleasure visiting with you. I've enjoyed both of our conversations. We'll have to do this again a little bit down the road.
Absolutely.
I don't want to lose track of this and lose track of you because there's just some great things and there's some more things we can talk about with the audience to help them with their practice. You agree?
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I think this is a very powerful conversation we're having today. It was great, great, great hearing your perspective as well because it was just amazing. And so I would love to be back and dig deeper into this. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, they can always go to thepracticenavigator.com or they can call me directly on my cell phone, 917-945-5527, or email me at sophia@thepracticenavigator.com.
Awesome. Boy, they ought to be able to get hold of you, Sophia, without question.
Well, yes.
Thank you very much for today. I've enjoyed visiting with you. I've enjoyed seeing your pretty smile.
Thank
you. Have a big,
you.
Radiant smile with a lot of energy. And I think that that also is indicative of what you would bring into the practice and how you would help the practices grow that you work with. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
And that ends our episode today of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John, and our guest has been Sophia Dunkley. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.